Can Dane come back from this?
I don't think so, because if you threaten someone like that in public, what are you doing behind closed doors? And people are going to have that worry in the back of their minds. I mean, a green room is, you know, it changed for a lot of people who don't know him or do know him. That's going to change their mentality and how they see him now.
Welcome to yet another episode of 3SP. We're coming live and direct from Hoots Comedy Club. I'm the mad lad of Jihad, the Turanian terror, the man from Isfahan. And today I'm joined by cuck liberal libtard Rick Molland.
I'm sorry, I vote Labour.
Yeah, we accept your apology. And we've got two very special guests today, all the way from Essex. We've got Billy Banana himself, the man with the plan. It's James Beattie. He's a very funny comedian running the haters ball with me this year. And to his right, we got Mr. Ross McGrain, very funny comedian and a radio presenter in Essex. So welcome to the pod.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me.
That's right. We pretend like we've just met right now, but we haven't. Been here all the time. Listen, a lot's been going on since we last did a pod in the last couple of weeks. Dane Baptiste, Dane's demise. We all know Dane. He's been cancelled for threats. We'll chat about that. Trump's impeachment has been ongoing. AstraZeneca have confirmed, as I knew from the start, their vaccine don't work. It's a clot shot. They've been murdering you left, right, and center. The only drugs that are going to kill me are going to be cocaine, overdose only, going to block my heart. We're also going to get some top tips from Essex, top tips from Thailand, because BE hangs out there a lot. And just as a Sikh, we're also going to report on a nonce, nothing to do with you being in Thailand, but Bradley Martin and Vitaly have just caught Space Jam producer and writer Herschel Weingrod trying to meet with a 15-year-old girl. We've got the video. We'll watch that all together to see what it's like. Then we're going to discuss our top nonce videos that we've seen.
I assume Dane Baptiste will be getting in touch with you to see what the Thailand scene's like.
Yeah, when you say we're all going to rate our favourite nonce videos, you mean nonce is getting captured, presumably.
Yeah, that is what I did.
not a top 10 done by Savile. Yeah.
That is what I did mean. Not in case any of you are listening getting excited, like, finally, they're getting to the good stuff. No, yeah, we're going to
free speech. Yeah. Late night.
Yeah, we're going to be talking. We were actually going to record this last night. We went out. So you guys are in town. They're here checking out some Edinburgh venues. Mm. We all went out and had a few drinks. I was going to record the drunken free speech special, but we then went for a kebab, sobered up. I got into an argument with Ollie. He's now boycotting today's podcast.
He's downstairs self-harming in a barber's.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, the podcast did happen. It just weren't here and there weren't any mics. And it was a kebab.
Yeah, so anyway,
say that again, I'll slap you. I'll kick you in the head.
I threatened to kick Ollie in the face. So what? Absolutely fine. But okay, so listen, Dane Baptiste, you all know the story. So listeners, you don't know, Dane Baptiste, who I would say is a... When I started out, I started with Dane Baptiste, a very good comedian. He was the first black comedian to be nominated for the Edinburgh Fringe Festival main award. He was making some waves in the industry. Recently, he's been quite pro-Palestine, and he's been vocal in that regard. However, last week, over the weekend, he put up an Instagram story, and I'm paraphrasing, I should really have found the thing, but essentially he said, if you're the Zionist North London comedian who's been looking at my missus's Instagram stories, I will find you, I will hunt you down, and I will essentially kill you. I'm happy to sit in a prison cell.
Did he paraphrase Taken as well?
Well, I don't know. Let me see if I can find it. You guys know what it is. I'll find the actual comment. What was your take on that? What was your opinions, guys?
Oh, mate, I felt genuine sadness, mate, because it was like, there's no coming back from that, is there? I like Dane, nice guy, brilliant comic, had like the world at his feet, you know?
Yeah.
But like, what a horrendous error in judgment. Like just an instant.
I've got the actual.
It's not too different to what you said to Ollie last night.
It's not.
Yeah,
far
but I
off.
Didn't say that.
But that's the thing.
Also, I didn't invoke Ollie's heritage or ethnicity or religion, and Ollie, despite looking like a lesbian, is still a man, right? So it's not a misogynistic or anti-Semitic abuse. So this was the actual message that Dane posted, right? So to end context, Dane has been quite political about, he's been very pro-Palestine. He posted this on his Instagram story. He says, "A quick message to the Zionist comedian stalking my family's page. I want you to sit down with your husband and kids and imagine what their lives will be without, their lives will be," he's made a mistake here, I'm going to fix it for him, "imagine what their lives will be like without you. Because North London is a quick trip to make and a think tank will have to be an actual tank to keep you safe from me. Ask about and comedians will tell you I will be at your literal doorstep. Your agent won't keep you safe and I'll sit in prison while your family sit at the cemetery. First and last warning, your act is dumb, but don't be a dumb woman for your own safety."
It's wild, mate.
So it gets progressively, because there's a point where you just go, I said all that and it's bad enough to say it, and then said it to a woman. Yeah, as well, which makes it even more of a weird fucking threat.
Yeah, it's left no grey area whatsoever.
No, there is. It's like someone's someone's gone onto ChatGPT and said, like, what's the best way with no wiggle room? Write me a post. Write me a post that I cannot get out of afterwards. Yes.
But this is it. So in fairness, I'm gonna just play devil's advocate for a bit. When I started comedy, I started with Dane. I think we all did more or less. We used to get on we were quite tight. He's gone on to other things and maybe, has he ditched me? Possibly. Anyway, will he be coming back to my loving embrace? Most probably now. I'm the only one.
He's coming to Hating Live this year.
No, he went on to big things. He's been vocal on the Palestine. So I'm just going to, on this issue. So I can imagine there have been people sending him abuse, right? And I can imagine, so he's recently a new father, right? So I could see that if you're in his situation and you're recently a new father, you've been getting abuse from trolls online, and you see what you consider to be a pro-Israeli comedian looking at your wife's Instagram stories, that could possibly be violating. Mm. Now, but the only way you would be able to defend that if he would to post something like, "Oh, fuck you, bitch, don't be looking at my missus's messages," and you could possibly say, listen, he's got angry there.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. But like you said, like, this is just like...
Everything just gets worse and
worse. Yeah, it's like a quick message to the Zionist comedian. So, I mean, BT, I'm going to presume you don't know what Zionism means. Just
No.
Yeah,
I know The Road to Zion by Damian Marley. That's a great song. Nas is great on that.
Yeah,
The Road to Zion. That sounds like...
BT doesn't have a hateful bone in his body. Yeah. just loves everybody. Zionism is a political ideology. It's basically like... it's basically Jewish people should have their own homeland. But... It is. It's an It's an ideology, right?
Right.
It's different from. It's distinct from Judaism. I.e., you could be a Christian Zionist. The argument at the moment is that people are using Zionism as a code word for Jewish people. So they don't want to sound anti-Semitic. So they say, "Oh, I'm an anti-Zionist," but actually they're kind of hiding behind that statement to be anti-Semitic. And I think.
It's sort of the difference between saying, I'd say white, the way it's used is the difference between seeing like someone's Caucasian and someone's white supremacist. It's like there's that kind of code behind it.
Right.
That's in the, you don't use that word without
using
the hidden meaning.
If you say Zionist, 99% time you mean a Jewish person.
And you've also got but it gives people the back out as well. To say, that's not what I was saying. I just said Zionist. It's like, do you know what I mean? It's that kind of like...
I don't think you get a back out when you threaten to kill them afterwards, though.
No.
So, it's like, but this message, like, I was like I said, if it had been like,
How many levels of does
like,
it go
it's,
up?
It's a long, it's like if he's just like, "Oh, fuck you, bitch, don't look at you," can say, "Oh, come on. But he's gone, quick message to the Zionist comedian stalking my family's page. It's the only thing you can say, you're looking at his page, but apparently, from what I've heard, they only looked at an Instagram story that was of a public profile.
Open and public.
We all do that shit, mate, don't we? Especially the first thing my missus would do if I got into an argument with someone or something is like have a little stalk of their profile. You know what I mean?
Normal.
It's just a normal human curiosity, isn't it? It's particularly in stuff topics, stuff like this, where it's so emotive. When you argue with people about politics or religion or whatever on Facebook, you get it dominates your whole headspace, and then you just want to like find more on these people. You know, I don't think
when you look at Instagram and how you use Instagram, right? You use Instagram and it's a fleeting moment of like swipe, and you might hover on something, but even videos you watch it for 30 seconds, and that's a long fucking watch. Mm-hmm. Right, but what that does to the other person is, because of the stats, it gives a permanent record of a stat, it gives a permanent thing. So if someone looks at a story, right, and it gives you that thing, oh, you've, this many people have viewed your story, and it looks like a permanent thing. So the two things are disproportionate from what you, from how long that, you don't know how that person has interacted with your profile. You just know it's an interaction, and we are conditioned to prize those interactions.
It might have come up on the feed, you clicked on it by mistake. My favourite one of all time was Colleen Rooney and Rebecca Vardy.
Yes.
Oh, that was wonderful, wasn't it?
She, well, elaborate for us. We've got listeners from all over the world.
So this was footballers' wives, Wayne Rooney and Jamie Vardy, and Rebecca Vardy was leaking stories. Well, someone was leaking stories on the Rooneys to the newspapers.
And she suspected it.
And she was getting favourable stories about her by selling these stories that were on a private Instagram. So Colleen Rooney just started sharing them to individual people over the years and found out this person is the only person who could have shared it.
Game of Thrones style.
And then announced it in this big announcement.
So dramatic. Yeah.
And then it went to court.
Wagga for Christie.
Wagga for Christie.
genuinely an amazing pun as well.
It's so good.
Oh, fantastic.
But footballers' wives, not all dumb. Colleen could have gone into fucking business for herself as a detective or something.
There's a whole documentary on it. But with the Dane thing, then... If someone's on his back, he could just say, can you just leave me alone? Why does he have to mention all these certain things?
Exactly. Well, that's the thing, right? That's the thing. If he'd have just said... If he did... I think he's acted... So you can't even say he acted irrationally, because this is...
That's not rash.
It's not an irrational message. Like, I you can't... There's no way you can defend this message.
You seen the amazing... You must have all seen it. The amazing Chris Rock bit about how... they shouldn't have gun control, they should have bullet control.
And then
when the guy goes off, it's kind of like that. It's like, I'm gonna go away, I'm gonna save up, I'm gonna get a second job, and it's like they build to the point before he comes. That's what that's sort of doing each time. It's like just going, like, I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna double down on that, I'm gonna double down on it, and then I'm gonna reveal at the end that I'm gonna kill a woman.
It's just, well, this is it, and it's just, you know, look, at the end of the day,
why would you post?
Well, this is it, and I want to playing devil's advocate, I want to caveat that no one actually knows the interaction between this person and how long this has been going on for, and all the full background. There's rumors and stuff.
The background I've heard, and I've heard this from a pretty close source. From both sides, I kind of know the story.
Did Ollie told you, yeah?
No. I don't think Ollie knows.
Ollie Horn told me.
From what I've heard, the comedian that this is referring to,
right?
All she did was look at Dane's partner's Instagram story.
Yeah, this is what I've heard as well.
That's what I've heard.
But we don't know if Dane's been receiving
abuse
He's probably had abuse from multiple different angles, and I think what made me most sad about it is I've always seen social media as like a promotional vehicle, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't post stuff about industry issues and things like that. I just post gigs I'm doing, you know, look at this gig I've done, look at this gig I'm doing, all that sort of shit.
Yeah.
And it just felt like, you know,
2-3 posts a year,
basically, mate. Yeah. But like Dane, like I said, he was on this wave, mate, and he had Sonny Dean's sitcom and all this other stuff, but he's a very politically minded and quite an angry person online, you know.
There's also a thing, I would take a guess that his if I put that on my Insta, it's going to get seen by 25 people. I would guess that
it's just a dumb move.
He's a higher profile with the stuff he's done, so that then just has further reach.
I do get, like, from being someone who's quite reactionary and, you know, a bit of a temper myself, like, you know, in the heat of a moment when something, like, you feel like... Plus, you know, like, say he's constantly he's arguing people online every day, just in this negative, like, angry headspace. And then he feels like maybe his wife has even said, you know, I'm speculating, but maybe his wife's seen this person looking at the story and gone, look, it's just you got to stop these arguments. Like, you know, you don't.
It almost becomes like the Will Smith reaction at that point.
Well, that's what I mean. It's but like in the heat of an argument, it'd be like, I'm going to fucking kill you. You know what I mean? But like to actually, like you've had to type that shit out. Like it's taken you time. Like you've added emojis. Well,
I think Dane's
funny. And it's not a private message. It's like public. Yeah, everywhere. The world to see. Like, and everyone gets to see that part of your character that they didn't know. So from face value, you gig with Dane, and he, you know, he seems like a friendly sort of.
Where does everyone stand?
Nice, but then you see that message and think, oh, I don't really know this person. It's like there's no turning back from threatening to kill someone. That's so
a woman
extreme.
And a Jewish woman.
Yeah.
That's what's. Well, the thing is, I think what Dane's done is he's kind of brought the comedy world in with the real world whilst forgetting that he's a public figure, right?
Yeah.
So he's thinking, maybe I'll say this and comedians will maybe kind of, they'll understand that I'm not being serious, but it sounds...
There's no comic tone to that.
No, I know. So I don't, I like... Yeah. But is
That's a threat. It's a genuine threat, and
if you're the other person, you read that, you'd be fearful.
I don't even think you have to be fearful. I think what that is somebody, if someone dislikes him, right? I think what that is opening the door and allowing somebody else to have the power in a situation. And that so that's such a shitty post that you don't even have to be afraid, but you can complain about being afraid, and you can say, I feel threatened from it, and it's like, that's how stupid it is that it doesn't. Does any of us believe that he's likely to go and kill her?
No, but I think it's, in
terms of a fight. How many times have you seen that where it's like someone's
in a fight? You say something,
we're gonna fucking kill you.
But you can't threaten it's different to threaten a guy. You can't, but as a guy to threaten a woman. And then explicitly say a Jew, although in his apology, which I'll try and find later on, he said, I use Zionist instead of saying Jewish specifically. But then it's like, you're doing exactly what the argument is about them saying that Zionist is an anti-Semitic trope.
Mm-hmm.
But so it makes, it makes no sense. Because what he should have done is he could have just said something like, listen, come after me, but don't be looking at my missus's messages, and everyone would have been like on his side.
I feel like that's you know, any like hint of ambiguity in one of those sentences, he eradicated.
Oh, 100%,
with the next sentence,
like,
to a point where it's like, it's just, to me, it just reeks of self sabotage, and you know, whatever sort of headspace he's in, it's not a good one. You know, and I just hope he's all right in the head. You know what I mean? Because you can't be mentally stable to think that any part of that message is acceptable in a public domain or even in a private one.
You know what it is, though? It's like this Israel-Palestine situation is so... I'm pro-Palestine, right? But I always try to see it from the other side, and especially from my Jewish friend's point of view as well, right? And I tried to, like, both sides get angsty and they start pitting one against, like, the best thing I read about this whole thing is, like, listen, you can be pro-Palestine without hating Jews.
Mm, yeah.
And that just sounds like he's gone, like...
You've got to distinguish between, you got Palestinian people who are being abused, you got Hamas who are, you know, essentially... you know, installed themselves as a fucking, you know, as a dictatorship.
Mm.
And then you've got the connection between, there's a difference between Jewish people and the actions of Israel. Like there's more so than anywhere else, you know, Jews are in other countries across the world and identify with you get British Jews, you get American Jews, but they get the blame for the actions of a Israeli state, and it's like you've got to separate.
Listen, you don't blame all Iranians for the actions of the Islamic Republic government.
No, and exactly. I would guess that. I mean, I don't know whether this was I don't know whether there was a separation when, like, World War II, whether people were like, it's not, you know, I don't know whether there was a, nowadays they'd be like, it's not all Germans kind of hashtag going around, wouldn't there? do you know what I mean? there is a difference between the German people and the Nazi state at that point. And but the nature of how countries work, there are a small amount of people in control who dictate what the rest of that fucking country gets to do.
I think that whole... So while I think the conversation on these topics are important, I feel like, you know, to be publicly like that vehemently for either side, like, it's such a complicated situation on both sides that it feels like, you know, I don't know what do you gain from falling out with people to the point of death threats?
I mean, at the end of the day, as vociferous as Dane is in his support for Palestine, that's not going to be... That's not the... Wait a minute. Dane's supporting us? Yeah. Shit! It's over. We've had peace has been decided.
Let's set them free.
Yeah. We've done it now. That's what we were looking for. But anyway, so that was his thing. And, like, within a day, Dane's, like, post had gone viral. His agent dropped him. He's fucked up. Like, I reached out to Dane just to make sure he didn't fucking kill himself. And he said he's been struggling. This is before I found out who the other person involved was. And he said he fucked up, right? Fine. But then he issued an apology. Now, here at Three Speech, we have one motto. Never apologize, right? Never, ever apologize. No matter what, it can never go. No matter what you do, you're done. Just shut the fuck up and take your medicine, right? Your apology will not work. It never works. And this is a classic.
The apology will not be televised.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why Ollie's downstairs.
Yeah. Well, actually, Ollie did apologize and I lost all respect for him. but this is the apology, and it's just that the apology was... So I'll read the apology. So it goes, in a massive error of judgment, I posted an excessive and impulsive response, hoping to dissuade anyone monitoring my family. I made a point to say Zionist and not Jewish, but I appreciate how disturbing, threatening, and incendiary that language is. I would categorically state that I have no ill intention towards the Jewish community and never have. I mean, it's never good when you have to actually categorically state that. I've got no ill intention to the Essex community. Anyway, but going on, he goes, I have a loving family of which I'm massively protective of. I reacted poorly and emotionally to a perceived threat with no considered thought to the consequences, and I apologize profusely for my actions to the Jewish communities, my colleagues, and my fans.
Honestly,
what about the person you threatened?
That's the main thing. It's like, you didn't say sorry to the person you threatened.
The rhythm of it and the some of the language of it genuinely is very similar to Will Smith's apology after the
thing. It's quite legalese, isn't it?
Here's the thing with this stuff is that anyone who's caught in that situation, right, has to apologize in a certain way, has to go into rehab. There's all that you've got, how do you apologize, and then how do you clean your image? And you go, right, you've got to go away for a bit. I've got to apologize. I go away. I go to rehab. I say I've learned something, and then I'll come back with something else.
He should have done a Roseanne Barr since he was on Xanax or something. I've done Xanax.
It's not a private argument where it's back and forth. It's a public domain, and it's the person who's been threatened doesn't even potentially need to do anything, because it's the people who see it and go, I can't believe this person said this. And everyone on Twitter's got an opinion. Everyone's retweeted it. Everyone's quoted it. And
the whole industry's talking about it.
Everyone's talking about it.
But this person who's being threatened, I mean, it's a pretty scary threat.
100%.
Like, and it's, and you know, saying, I will come to North London, I know where you live. Like, that is, and with your family, that is really intimidating.
Yeah, that's
language.
A lot.
Like, it's not like, you know what I mean? It's like, I will come. And, like, if you're her, I mean, I just don't, like, it's...
What's the profile? I don't want to know the name of the female.
Comedian.
What is her, what's her profile level?
She's decent.
She's doing all right, yeah.
She's good.
She's decent. She's got, like, a family, you know, she's got a family situation. I don't know if she's got kids or young kids, but, you know, that's another factor.
I think the issue with the apology for me...
Mention us.
The problem is, ironically, in the same way that the threat come out in the first place, he's obviously very reactionary and really seen, like, this blow up and his whole life blow up around it, and I think he could have sat on it for like a week.
Yeah, he should have let it
just remain silent and let the dust settle, and then actually work out how he actually feels about the situation, and then he might have been able to convey a more sincere, articulate apology. But what he's done is thought, shit, I've got a fucking...
He also could have been in a position where, you know, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. There's something else comes along. You know, 2 weeks ago, everyone's talking about who the guy in Baby Reindeer is.
And then, which, if you messaged me and I sent you a name of that person, it was wrong. turns out it's not him. Yeah. I got it wrong. It's been in the sun. oops. Sorry. Sorry, Gary.
So 2 weeks ago, when you're in the eye of the storm, everyone just thinks that's it. It's never going to change. And you go, like, there'll be something's going to happen in the Trump trial. That'll be the news. And the news cycle sort of moves on so quickly that, you know.
Dane come back from this?
I don't think so, because if you threaten someone like that in public, what are you doing behind closed doors? And people are going to have that worry in the back of their minds. I'm in a green room. It changed for a lot of people who don't know him or do know him. That's going to change their mentality and how they see him now.
Where do you guys stand on cancel culture for something like this?
But I don't think this is a case of cancel culture, because this is something that... Listen, if you're in any line of work and you, as I'm gonna kill you, you black bitch, I'm gonna lose my fucking job. Don't clip that. But if you said something like that,
welcome to TikTok.
Yeah. But if you did, you're gonna lose your job. Right? So if you threaten a Jewish woman,
if you're thinking that thing, you're a danger.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing.
But yeah, I don't think this is cancel culture.
That's how people will perceive it, particularly with stand-up. It's so important that the audience feels 100% comfortable with the person that.
And everyone in the venue.
On stage with. And
yeah, I think it's... I think at the end of the day, we're all sort of independent contractors, so it's a really different... We don't have a HR department. So
you've got members of staff, you know, you run
members
a
of staff is the Members of staff's the thing, though, where I kind of come to it. With like going, when you've got bar staff, we tend to be, you know, younger 19, 20-year-old kids, because they get... Because they do that, that you go, yes, I understand. So that, and it's that's the level I can have.
Yeah, if a regular audience member come in and was being really creepy with one of the bar staff, you'd get rid of them, want your staff to feel safe, your comedians to feel safe, and your audience to feel safe.
Yeah, and in the same token, whilst I don't believe that cancel culture in the sense of people saying this person did a thing and now I think you should all cancel him and everyone jumps on it, from a booker's point of view, at the same time, what I do believe in is making money and the club being successful. And if it's a case of, you know, someone's on the bill that's got all this shit attached to them, I'm gonna have to lose them from the bill. I can't risk
50 people.
Yeah,
50 people turning up outside with signs and boycotting
your gig. And they think that I then somehow endorse that. Yeah. You know, which is a stupid way to think, but that is the way that people think, and it's a shame, but it's the way it is, isn't it? You know, I had Andrew Lawrence booked into my club, and I love Andrew Lawrence. He's one of my favourite comedians. You know, but no coming back from what he did either.
I got the chance to... He applied for Hoots last year.
Yeah.
And I went through that thing at a point where I was like, he's probably going to put more people in a room than any other acts in that big room. And I was like, but... And I spoke to people who weren't comedians and went, do you know the name? And the words they said... Just like,
it's just that, just that, even big, that, that's it's what a the, big yeah. risk.
But
to
see,
take,
for me, that is cancel culture, right? Yeah. Because Andrew Lawrence, whether you agreed or disagreed with his footballer joke, it was a joke, right?
Yeah.
And that is like, okay, that's pushing the boundaries of what would be acceptable speech or free speech. That's a cancel culture issue. This, I think, if you'd threatened anyone anytime to kill them in your workplace, you're always gonna. These are the repercussions. Like, and this is the consequences of your actions.
Yeah.
You decided to write that, to say that, to make that threat, and this is what happens afterwards.
Yeah.
I here's the thing, though. I think there's...
What do you think? Do you think this is a cancel culture issue?
I don't know. I think it's a really blurred line. And I think it's probably cancel culture because it falls under the social media thing. And I think...
But it's a fucking... I think a better analogy, instead of doing the Andrew Lawrence, would be Paul Curry.
Okay.
So Paul Curry has been cancelled because he pulled out a Ukrainian, a Palestinian flag at the end, but there's been differing reports coming back from the audience, right?
Yeah.
There, the lines are blurry, where you can say, this is a free speech issue, this is cancel culture. Whereas here, I think it's quite distinct. Well, I don't think... Yeah, he made the threat on Instagram, but so what? That's probably better they didn't do it in person.
That's what I'm saying. It's actually, even though it's a threat, it's a horrible threat, it's actually better than if he's doing it face to face, where there's a,
it's more menacing. Yeah,
but he probably wouldn't have done it face to face. It wouldn't have happened.
No,
but
yeah, I agree with what you're saying, Darius. I think, like, at the end of the day, you're in the public eye. Your job is to go and gig all over the country in front of hundreds of people in venues and everything, and you've chosen to very publicly commit what is essentially a criminal offence. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, and what's come from
like
that?
Threatening behaviour, and that is criminal. You know, the police are involved.
Are the police involved? Yeah, apparently.
And, you know, it's like you wouldn't get away with that in any other workplace. And actually, it is good that it was on social media, because most of these sorts of instances happen behind closed doors, and then it's your word against mine, and then these people continue to, you know, do the same thing to more people, you know. And it's I do think he was reactionary, Dane. I don't know the full story, and I don't want to speculate.
You can't say it's reactionary, though, because that would be the, I've heated a moment. But that was
it's
a thought out, considered, a reaction would be, fuck you, bitch. That would be reactionary, right? But to be like, I'm going to find you, Zionist North London comedian.
He just might be a better writer than you are.
I mean,
I agree with what you're saying, but like, I myself, like, when I'm like, if I'm having like a row with Holly or whatever over text message, you know, she will say something, and I, in frustration, will type out like a long message that's like, not like obviously threatening to kill her, but like just cutting, saying things that you wouldn't.
What if like this is just a massive spell check problem? Yeah, but I mean, like he's got Grammarly in there, and it's like Grammarly's really fucked him over.
He's like, hey Siri, please type.
But this isn't an argument between two people. This is the whole world has it now. And Twitter, everyone has an opinion, and everyone's on this now, and it's got so much more credence and attention, and rightly so, because...
Here's the worrying thing for me on this, is that...
It's for the world to see.
The trigger for it is... The trigger for that is apparently looking through someone's Facebook stories and seeing that their fucking name is there. It's not Instagram stories. You know what I mean? It's like, that is... That's a wild overreaction. If that's the culmination of like a Twitter battle that escalates and keeps going, right? I see that, but you know, so see, he's seen 10 of her stories and her name's been on.
But the only devil's advocate caveat to that is new father, baby's like how we're like not that old, you do get ultra protective. You might be like, I want to be ultra protective of my wife. I've got to show that. So there is that tiny caveat, but it doesn't justify.
No, it doesn't. No.
What he said.
I think we live in a world where
we do live in a world
I think that there is a thing where, that kind of threatening behaviour kind of is accepted from time to time, and it shouldn't be. And it's, you know, the world is better without that kind of behaviour.
Here's a question before we go any further. Do you think the comedy community has been silent on this issue? Because I saw a few of our Jewish colleagues, comedians, saying not enough other people have spoken out about this or condemned Dane or what.
Because that like pisses me off, to be honest. You know, it's like, I understand where they're coming from. But I don't think that this is, you know, maybe like the other stuff he posted was anti-Semitic. I don't know. I haven't even looked at it, if I'm honest. But like, the issue, the main issue with that, what he did for me, was that he was threatening to murder a woman with a family in public. Mm. Like,
that should be bad enough. A Jewish woman.
But he specifically chose to mention that.
I do think that shouldn't necessarily change. The fact that I think once you're threatening to murder somebody, the reason behind it is not fucking.
Yeah, but my question is, I think some Jewish comedians feel like the community have not got behind.
But what do they mean by get behind?
Do you feel like the comedy community kind of? I just don't think
anyone's got a right to tell anybody what they use their social media for. Like I said earlier, I use my social media as self-promotion only.
So I only use mine anything. For hate crimes. That's why
I don't put anything political up there because that's not what my audience wants to see. They don't give a shit, you know?
So,
and I get that, like I say, I think like the reason why Dane is vocal on these issues is because he feels like he has a platform and he wants to use that platform to spread awareness or whatever, right? And there's a lot of people that do that, but that's his choice to do that. And it's like in the same way, it's my choice whether, you know, obviously I would support any of my Jewish friends, any of my people that are pro-Palestine that I know and in other ways, but if what you're saying is we're supposed to publicly condemn or choose a side in an argument that we've got that's got nothing to do with us or what, you know, I just think.
Well, that's why I kind of haven't said anything, because I thought, let me wait to do it on a podcast or so I can verbalise what I said as well. Cause, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah,
it's the thing, but it's the thing with social media. The way we perceive social media is that you assume that everybody's seen it. Like, that, you know, everyone's been quiet. I hadn't seen the story, right, until we got here today. I was not aware of the story, so I just wasn't aware of it. But what that looks like is that you know, somebody's been silent, so there's not enough people talking about it. And it's like, yeah, so the way social media is, you know, our feeds are fed in certain algorithms and certain things, you know, and yeah, there's a whole lot of people out there who didn't know about it.
Which is, you know, there's so many, there's constant stream of divisive issues that are going on the planet. Like, where are you vocalising your, you know, standing up for this incident that happened? You know, it's like, what? It's like that you, I don't know, just for me, it's just it, like, you know, if you want to stand up for that sort of stuff, great, that's up to you.
The whole point, Dane just is fucked up. I think, I don't know how he's going to come back from this.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's sad to see somebody who had like so, he had such, like, he had it all at his fingertips, really, and he sort of chose to go down a route on socials and, like, you know, his window to the world was that. Quite angry from someone like the outside looking in, not just this incident, but like quite often you go back through a lot of his posts, it's very sort of aggressive.
Wow,
like,
have you been stalking him under a Zionist log on?
But I think Dane has cultivated that. Like when he started, he was pretty happy go lucky, and he's got more angry and militant.
But that's not the impression I get from him in real life. You know, when you meet him in real life, he's always been such a sweet guy, and I've got a lot of time for him. It's just that I felt genuine sadness, not feeling sorry for him, but sadness to see someone just throw a career and a lifetime of graft and hard work in an industry where, you know, it would have been harder for him anyway. I was just sad.
I felt surprised. I was like so surprised. I haven't seen or heard anything, not been looking at social media, and last gigged him a year ago and nice conversation. And then when I read the post, I was like, God, this can't be the same person. This is like, just seemed so sort of out of character.
Yeah, it don't feel like it's coming out the same person's.
But there's also no going back from it.
Yeah, but I don't
think you can't threaten someone's life no matter who you are and where you are.
No, like, you can't. I would say the nature of. The nature of this industry is changing in that clubs and audiences, like have a voice. Clubs, if you're a club and you're not booking, it's fine. There are people who have been cancelled. Let's say Scott Gibson. Oh, yeah. He's gigging again. But he's got his own, it's to his own, he's not doing shows up here, but he has developed again because he's got a following.
He's Gibson Scott now.
So Scott Gibson's gigging again.
I don't know how that story of him being cancelled.
Sending dick pics to huge amounts of female acts, basically.
And that's why you booked him.
Absolutely. Mate, you should have seen the dick. It's been amazing.
Need to get a bigger phone.
and then you look at someone who's kind of out there in a mental health way, like someone like a Steve Hughes.
Right,
can still have
Louis C.K. mate. You know,
Louis, they can. So the idea that they can never come back is out of now. There's a slight. This is a threat. It's a slight abstractness to it, you know, because it is in social media and is a threat. There is a defense at some point in the future to say it's not. You know, it's not like Louis C.K. was a real interaction, and
He'll have to book gig. I think Dane will need to take some time off, go away,
actually, exactly.
And probably come back and gig on his own to his own audience.
Go, you know, how much of this is in Australia? Can he go and work festivals in Australia and slowly come back?
I think if I were Dane, although I've said not apologise, but he's already ruined that, he should go away, really consider it, and then if he feels like he'd give a sincere apology.
But give more of an explanation on the situation.
Then fucking double down, and there'd be people who'd be like, all right, we respect you, and then you build your audience from that, I think. But like, if it was, I don't know, you can't.
When you're in the moment of the humiliation, I guess you feel as though everybody's seen it. Mm. Right, you when you're in that moment, I had it when with that thing that happened to me online, and you kind of think everybody's seen this.
That sounds ominous, doesn't it?
That thing,
they don't know what thing happened online. Bait, it was like, Rick's got the shittest cancellation of all time. Rick's cancellations.
What?
Rick got cancelled for the shittest thing of all time. After COVID ended, Rick went, you know what? I prefer in-person gigs to online gigs. Then a disability campaign and, oh, what's that? You fucking hate cripples, do you fuck? You hate disabled people. Cancel Rick.
No way.
The COVID fringe when we did that half fringe. We were dealing with that, and I did an interview for fucking Chortle of all things. I got asked a question.
Yeah.
What do you think of Zoom gigs? And I said, Zoom gigs are bad. They're not a good product. No one enjoys them. And that got turned by Twitter into Rick Mullen wants to stop disabled people seeing comedy.
No way.
Yeah,
to be fair, your gig is upstairs.
It is. Everywhere I gig is
actually,
upstairs.
Hoots is not at the wheelchair accessible.
We are two flights up just to keep those cunts out. but yeah, it's it was a genuine lie. Like I hadn't even got anywhere near those words, and it got turned into that. So what you sit there and you, I sat there night after night at the fringe wanting to respond to people just lying. And you've got to tell yourself, I'm just going to turn this off because it will eventually go away. And that's the quickest way to make this go away. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's such a high turnover of shit on social media, the news and TV, that really if you just, it gives all these people a voice. They're highly reactionary, so they make.
There's people on it who are part of it. It's part of their life.
But like,
and if you don't watch it, it almost never happens at that point.
It's just feeding the trolls, isn't it? You become a figment of these people's imagination. You know, they don't know you or the situation, but they just imagine the worst kind of version of that.
Well, you know what else has happened? What we all know this now, but social media now drives the news. Journalists are so useless that they'll go online. One person will complain about something, and they, this person's complaining about this. Everyone's outraged about this, and then people will read the news story. Then they will start complaining about the thing.
Which it's like the news is like, is like reporting a tweet that
fake
like
news,
Britney Spears said this. This person's.
Oh, amazing. I love the one on Facebook. Have you seen the person who does customer service, and then like someone will complain to Tesco's, and they'll put Tesco's customer service, and they'll comment underneath saying, "Well, they'll just troll them,
pretend
to be." Yeah.
Listen, talking about fake news, AstraZeneca has withdrawn their COVID vaccine after admitting it causes blood clots, aka the clot shot. You heard it here, 2021. We said, don't take it. You're going to die from a massive heart attack. We've seen 19-year-old footballers just drop down dead on the pitch. I wonder why that is happening. And now we know why it's been happening. Rick, as an advocate for the clot shot.
I'm an advocate for vaccines. Like in general.
No, I'm not talking about vaccines.
I'm talking about this vaccine.
We're talking about this particular COVID vaccine. Mm-hmm. Do you now admit it does not work?
I do. Well, I'll be honest with you. I didn't know about the story.
Well, it's right here today.
Yeah,
come
but that's what you do. That's what you do.
Allow me to show you the story.
What you do is you knew you're going to come up with this, right? And then I get told about it like 30 seconds before we come on, right? And then I can't look at it. I can't think. I'm guessing that in the history of vaccines, like this has happened before. Some of them happen, some of them don't.
I think the point I'm making to you is that when people were trying to warn that this was going to happen, we were shouted down saying, "Oh, you're anti-vaxxers. You shouldn't be allowed to live. Go fuck yourself. Kill yourself." Threatening,
outrageous.
Stop speaking to Dane Baptiste. Yeah.
Don't stand next to me in the supermarket.
Yeah.
You're selfish.
Yeah, yeah.
I was at a girlfriend at the time, and her parents banned me from their house.
Yeah.
What honestly. Were you? What
for not being vaccinated?
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. I'm guessing that
I'm selfish. I'm putting their lives at danger.
That was it. Yeah, like these normal, ordinary people.
Do you want to say story?
Had weaponized this thing.
Exactly,
so you think the COVID vaccine still works?
I think some of them do. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
After you have eight, Darius, when you have your eighth one.
The AstraZeneca COVID vaccine.
No, you said AstraZeneca now. There's a difference in the COVID. There's more vaccines out there.
AstraZeneca is withdrawing the COVID-19 vaccine worldwide.
Okay.
Months after the pharma giant admitted the drug could cause rare.
Can I just say could? Could and rare are both.
But life-threatening injuries.
Yeah, but could and rare are both like massively important words in that sentence. Because yeah, when you say it definite, and like, both those things.
I did say definite.
Yeah, you did say definite.
Surely though, if there's even 1% chance of something that you're being forced to inject into your body is going to give you a blood clot.
Then. All right. So, like, did any of you guys have it?
No.
In that case, it wasn't. You weren't forced to have it.
That's because we're not.
No.
You weren't forced.
In America, they were giving away food. You know, get a burger if you get it. Okay. They were saying
there's an encouragement. The reason.
Encouragement.
The amount of people who couldn't go on holiday. Oh, I just got it
because
I wanted to go on holiday.
Because there was a, no,
but,
because there was a,
but why wasn't there choice?
There was a worldwide pandemic, right? So that's the reason you couldn't go on holiday.
Yeah,
right.
No,
there's a worldwide pandemic, and then there is a decision that you got to make about if the worldwide pandemic's what shut it down, not the vaccine.
Yeah, well, then they said, if you haven't got the vaccine, you can't travel. And I think like,
yes,
that's coercing you to
that's
do
coercing.
It.
That's coercing. Yeah, that is choice.
No, no, like that is a choice that people made.
Well, that's like...
It's a choice. Nah. I'm saying, if you want to survive, then eat food.
Like, yeah,
that's,
okay,
that's,
you
that's
can't,
not the
you
same.
Can't, you
if you want to survive, eat food.
No, come on.
It's not the
same. That's not the counter-argument.
You're talking about...
What I like is...
Admit the... AstraZeneca vaccine doesn't work. Admit it now,
Lyra. No.
Even AstraZeneca admitted it doesn't fucking work. No. Even they admit it, Rick.
I'm not saying that.
You can fucking
lose. You said
apologise and say sorry.
I'm saying could.
Apologise and
what
say
that doesn't
sorry.
Say, what that does, I'll tell you what it doesn't say.
Apologise.
No.
And say
it,
sorry.
It doesn't say it doesn't work. It says it causes blood clots.
It says it doesn't fucking work.
No, that's a difference.
Man,
that's a difference. That's a side effect.
Fuck me, man.
That's a side effect. That's a side effect to it. It doesn't say. Say it doesn't work.
Oh,
it says it causes blood clots.
Of a vaccine. It's like, yeah, but did he have COVID though?
More people died of COVID than they did of the vaccine.
I know there's nothing that I can say that can change an anti-vaxxer's mind. I know that because that's not how closed mind works. Yeah? Well, fuck you, you fat shit, because we didn't take it. And fuck you too. Apologise and say sorry. The vaccine doesn't work.
No.
You accept...
It does. It doesn't.
Do you
say,
think the AstraZeneca vaccine works?
I'm saying right. So
even they're saying it doesn't work.
No.
Like,
it
why
work.
Are you winning?
Why are you
defending a pharmaceutical company? You themselves
saying
it doesn't work.
I have a hatred of pharmaceutical companies. However, that's not what that says. The words you're saying doesn't say it doesn't work. Right. Right. And it depends on the terms that you're saying it doesn't work. Right. I'm saying that at some point people have had that vaccine. And it stopped
getting
COVID.
It is admitted that the AstraZeneca vaccine can cause TTS.
Right,
the
okay,
casual
that isn't, that,
is
isn't, that, isn't the vac- that isn't the vaccine not working. That is a side effect of it. Right, there's a difference between every medication you have has side effects. The medication works and there is a side effect. How bad that side effect is, they've weighed that up. That's not the vaccine not working. That's the side effect. They've done it. And I'm guessing that what they've done is that now they can pull it because COVID is not as big a threat in the world, and there are other options for it. But
how many shares have you got?
None. But no. Like insane.
This is how deep. You know,
every medication has every medication. Every single medication has a list of side effects.
I know. I take Viagra all the time.
I did a gig in Coventry, right? It was like just a random gig. So come do this. It's kind of like a free speech kind of gig. So I turned up to this gig, right? And it was like the weirdest assortment of people, right? It was like fucking new age hippies. Free speech. Like I got there was like they were selling like honey, homemade shit.
Is this did you make a video?
And there was a guy selling t-shirts, and I looked at these t-shirts, right? And it was like funny things. So there's a little emoji, and there's an emoji with a Hitler moustache on. I was like, that's weird. It's an emoji with a Hitler moustache. Kind of funny, but a bit weird. Walked over, set up my shit, came back, looked at the other t-shirts. I was like, wait a minute, that's an actual swastika.
What?
I looked up at the guy, and it was And it's an actual Nazi fucking memorabilia.
What?
At this gig. It was an actual genuine Nazi. I went,
was Count Dankula okay?
No, it wasn't Count Dankula. I said, are you a Nazi? And he went, oh yeah, I'm a Nazi. What? And he was the friendliest Nazi I've ever met. He was like super, because you know I'm Iranian. He was, yeah. I was, do you want me to die? He was, oh, yeah, but yeah, it's fine for now. I'll give you a deal on the t-shirt. So I was like, it's all right, insane. I don't need your Nazi. But you know what was that? What was mad about this gig, right? At that gig, some random people had just turned up. They thought it was just a regular gig.
Right.
And then I think Alastair Williams was on, and he was doing like anti-COVID, he's doing like, you know, anti-vax material. Really funny. And these anti-vaxxers, or these pro-vaccine people, got up and were so fucking angry to hear that the vaccine doesn't work, like Rick, right? Just really genuinely angry. Went off, they were furious. I tried to chat to them after. We're not fucking doing that, funny. They were real angry, Nazi people. What I'm saying is literal Nazis are friendlier and nicer than people who took the vaccine. That's what I want you to understand. It was a literal Nazi. So I do want you to die, but I will give you a 2 for £10 t-shirt deal. That's how much I like you. Meanwhile, fucking AstraZeneca out here. Yeah, we kill you all. Oh, beautiful. Give me more. Anyway, the point is we win, and I hope you don't die from the clot shot. Anything else to add on that? But we definitely, it was mad.
It was such a grey area, though, because at the time it was like you're either vax or anti-vax, and there's nothing in between. Like, you know, you might not want to get, you know, I got COVID in Edinburgh doing Hate and Life.
Yeah, Ollie gave it
Ollie gave it to everyone. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I went home, and then there was this.
We all got the same strain. Like.
Same strain. We got COVID together.
Yeah.
Bonded. But there was these articles that was like, oh, if you've had COVID and then you have this jab, it's dangerous. And you're like, well, I've recovered. I'm all right. I don't need it. I get that old people want it to stay safe and stuff. But it was either you're an anti-vaxxer or you're not. There was no room for conversation in between. And it was so divisive. And, you know, it's together stronger. It's not the phrase. It's divide and conquer. They keep everyone fighting over this, fighting over that. All the news is negative, and it's trying to keep everyone fighting. And I just want to be everyone's mate and just get along.
You know what? The whole narrative's changing now, because even CNN, which is like the super pro-vaccine now,
yeah,
even there in America saying, oh yeah, well the vaccines does cause side effects and it has caused all these issues and it wasn't as good and it didn't stop transmission. All the things they said it would do now, and everyone's saying this is bullshit. Obviously it's not going to work. It won't stop transmission.
Yeah.
The money's been made.
Whether it works or not, I just don't think whether my quality of life should be reduced because I chose not to take it. I mean, that's where they went wrong.
Is the paradox of choice. We should have a choice.
Yeah, they felt like that was going to be the thing that got us out of COVID, and that's how they sold it to us, and ultimately that was proven to be bullshit. Mm-hmm. So everyone rushed and took the thing, and then it didn't flatten the curve, and then it's, oh, actually now you've got to have this one, and now you've got to have this one, and now you've got to have this one. And yeah. And I just think, like I say, I believe in vaccines and I believe in the science, and I don't believe that all these, it was a conspiracy to inject us with microchips or population control. I just want to say I do believe it was global peer pressure.
That's a message coming from Ollie's microchip.
But I just think when it got down the route of like, well, look, if you don't take this, then you're not going to go on holiday and you're not going to be able to go and do these things, and some jobs wouldn't employ you if you didn't have it.
Yeah.
Or like, you know,
you can't,
I could
buy a coffee if you don't show your... Yeah, so you
can't go into buildings if you can't go in. You know, with your
like that's like.
But
that's,
I think, so here's the thing with that. Korean. Again, that is
that's global peer pressure.
No, it is, but it is also what happens with a pandemic. Like, you know, I mean, there's that. That's the thing.
You're saying that's to try and protect people.
That is. If a pandemic happens,
but staying at home for 6 months.
Yeah. No.
That was protecting people.
Yes, because the what you're dealing with is something that people haven't dealt with before. So there was no. When we look back on this, there's a whole host of rules that you go, I would do this differently. Or do
that. Yeah. When you're going the other way,
people are. We know. It's a fucking Tory government. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're idiots.
But you think they trust them.
But they got rich.
No, they don't. But I still think... I still think their friends got rich. I still think for the most part... Yeah, and I totally agree with that.
Do you think they should have been able to ask people their vaccine status before going in, like to buy a coffee, should you? They be let me see your vaccine thing.
That's controlling. It's Big Brother stuff.
No. So here's.
Basically, answer that question.
No.
I'm leading you somewhere.
I'm aware of that.
I've got a question after this as well.
I'm aware of that. What I'm saying is, what the vaccine is, the way you guys perceive the vaccine, it is a once the...
No one wants to hear that. We'll not answer my questions. So I can lead you to where I want you to be led. Well,
all right. But,
so basically, Josh Baker, 21-year-old cricket, just dropped down dead.
And that's awful.
And no one's allowed to ask what he dropped down dead from.
No. And imagine if you're peer pressured and saying, you've got to get it. You've got to go on holiday. And you go, oh, do you know what? I will. And now you're thinking, I had AstraZeneca. Now I'm worried about my heart. Now I've got that anxiety hanging over me. And they signed a document so you can't sue the pharmaceutical companies.
Ugh. That's what it's, you know.
Rick, should I be allowed to ask people who drop down dead their vaccine status?
It's a good question.
It's a good question.
Why can you ask my vaccine status if I want a coffee, but you can't ask if they've had the vaccine after they're dying?
That's a great question.
No, but right, again, I am not.
You need to have a cup of coffee, but not if it... The vaccine, you can't have a coffee without the vaccine, but you can't ask if the vaccine had anything to do with your premature death at the age of 21.
Exactly. Your medical records are private, but you'd be in Tesco's and someone would be like, have you had the vaccine? I'd be like, when did you last get tested for chlamydia? They're like, I'm not telling you that. I'm like, well, I'm not telling you then.
Yeah.
To be fair, you could ask him, but he wouldn't be able to answer you, would he?
But that, yeah, like, but all these, like that coat. Guy, 21, just dropped down dead. What do you think caused that, Rick?
Right. What the assumption you're making is that is we don't know so if
that's
we don't
what I'm
know,
asking if you had a vaccine
I how am I what
he
is,
did have the vaccine
okay
but the vaccine
again,
killed him
okay
I'm not sure
no those two things don't
allegedly
that's the problem is that every assumption you're making is not backed up by any science. You just link it together because you want to link it together.
Vaccine doesn't work.
To make a pretty story for the fucking
kickback.
That's just in the computer. Do you know what I mean? I'm not looking at it from that. I'm looking at it from, genuinely, I look at things from a more practical point of view, right?
The AstraZeneca vaccine doesn't work.
Right. But now the facts
are
there.
That's not what I'm saying.
So your views should change.
No, the facts are not there. You're linking facts together.
Why have they taken it off the market then?
No basis of being linked together.
Why have they taken it off the market then?
Why am I saying from last? Right, I'll go over it again if you want me to go over it. Just have a listen to it, right? So basically, it's not the vaccine not working. It is the side effects
of it. During COVID, just there. that's Rick just wearing all his masks. That's to make sure.
If you're wearing a mask in Tesco's and you can still smell someone's fart, it's not going to work, is it?
Oh, that's true.
Listen, I think we've covered that. We win once again.
It's a bit of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit of fun. We've done some serious topics. What we're going to chat about. What did I say that we were talking about? We're going to talk about our favourite nonce videos. Do you have any?
Favourite nonce videos?
How many favourite nonce videos?
Yeah, I've got a favourite nonce
which
video.
One?
The one that's...
with your dad.
I've ruined my holiday now.
Which one's that one?
Oh, my God, it's so funny. It's like this guy that's been obviously caught by a sting operation, one of these Facebook sting operations. And he's very quotable, let's put it that way, you know, because obviously he's a horrendous human being and probably got some kind of learning difficulties as well, but my God, the video is fun.
This one, let's have a look. Oh yeah, that's who I was thinking.
Yeah.
I'll add this. I'll put this in on the thing.
It does. Have you seen June 2? Have you seen June 2? He looks like the bad guy out of June 2.
I like that. You've come here to meet them. Yeah, but I wasn't going to meet them.
Yeah.
That's a good argument.
But there's another one as well. Where...
I apologise
for that.
Yeah, I have.
He sounds like Joe Pasquale.
Ruin my holiday.
There's another one as well.
I'll put it out there. English nonsense better than American nonsense.
Without a
much
doubt.
Funnier. You've ruined my holiday. Don't get that comedy from an American nonsense.
The Premier League nonsense from the UK. Like there's another one as well, isn't there? Okay. The guy that's like. One of the women says something to him and he's like, don't you start or I'll knock you clean out. Which is some absolute gabbing, mate.
Is it Dave?
He had an Umbro tracksuit on. Oh, mate, they are good.
I think we've done about an hour. I'm not sure. Listen, thank you for listening to this podcast. You guys have anything to promote or anything?
No, I mean, look, if you're in Essex, come and check out Little Smash Comedy every Sunday night at the Alex South End. We're on Facebook there as well.
Little Smash Comedy does sound a bit noncy, doesn't it?
Little Smash Comedy, does it? I mean, only if you're that way inclined, mate.
That'd be the vaccine that's done that to you.
Yeah, that's there every Sunday. It's a pay what you like gig. It's one of the best in the country, in my opinion. I know I'm biased, but it has won 2 National Comedy Awards, so suck on that. Yeah, and, you know, just follow me, I suppose, the Ross McGrain on Instagram.
And what we know about Ross McGrain on Instagram, doesn't post anything political. Only shit that's funny, so that's once a year. So absolutely fine. BE, anything to promote?
Edinburgh this year. That's everything's aimed towards Edinburgh. I'm on Instagram, James BT Comedian, and I'm doing loads of shows in Edinburgh, so come check them out. It'd be great to see you.
Thanks.
And thanks for having me on.
Thanks for doing it.
Download my podcast as well, Ross and John's Organic Capers.
Obviously, once again, do not use the code 3SP to get 10% off a discount from highpoint.care. They're not paying us. We're no longer associated with them.
They got a free plug, didn't they?
Basically, if you're in Edinburgh, check out Hoots, which is, as of today, the number one comedy provider on TripAdvisor. We just
Club in Edinburgh.
Yeah, we just knocked Monkey Barrel off number one, which they'll be pissed. So.
Congratulations.
So basically, check us out. And we've got loads of podcasts and stuff. So
like and subscribe. We've got a Patreon. Sign up to the Patreon. Last week we did an episode where we discussed the original members. It was myself and Ollie. We discussed Leo. We discussed fucking Nico. I then got a YouTube link from Leo where he just cut the part of me and Ollie discussing him saying snakes. So now Leo thinks that we've been talking behind his back. Just because we were talking behind his back. So that is a kind of exciting content we put on the Patreon where we just slag off other members of the cast.
I'm not going to watch that.
Don't worry, it's going to be about Rick this week and his stupid love for the AstraZeneca. Rick and his fucking vaccine. But anyway, sign up for the Patreon. Thanks for listening. Love you long time. Bye.